I was going to go on today into some of the other parables in Matthew 13 that are there with the parable on the tares and the wheat, but I think perhaps before we do that, we should consider some of the information that is given here in the parable of the tares and the wheat in relation to the prophecies by the prophet. Christ spoke according to his own words in the Gospel of John, not his words, but God's word. His message was from the one who had sent him. So, Christ's words in the new scriptures must be exactly in accordance with God's words in the old scriptures. So these parables would have to match those things we find in the law and the prophets, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, as we read in Isaiah 8 and verse 20. You'll notice here that Christ spoke of a time when there would be children of the devil and children of God living together in the kingdom, and apparently it was going to be a dangerous situation to try to gather the tares out because you might injure the wheat. Now again, farmers know that tares look almost exactly like the wheat. In fact, the only time you can be sure which is when they are ripe at the harvest time. And at the harvest time, the wheat, because the kernel of grain in it is so heavy, the head falls and tips over. But the tares, because their seed is so light and so useless, literally no fruit, the tares pick up their heads. And that is how you can tell the difference between tares and wheat. That apparently is why Christ, in the parable, told the angels they would have to wait until the harvest and then go gather the tares. By harvest time, they would be able to tell the difference between the tares without fruit and the wheat ripe unto the harvest. Let's go back to some of the prophecies. I'll read just a few. I could spend days on this, but I don't want to spend but this week on the parables if we can help it. But in the beginning of this parable, as Christ told us, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." Then in the explanation, in verse 37, he said, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom." Now, if you remember or know something about the Bible story in the old scriptures, you recall that God cast off the house of Israel, the northern or ten tribe Israel, in the Assyrian captivity and, in effect, divorced her. Hosea is the prophet sent to the house of Israel as they went into the Assyrian captivity. We read in Hosea, God's casting off in the first chapter, and then in verse 10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." So the children of Israel were eventually to arrive in a place where they would be told they were not God's people, at the same time they were being told, "Ye are the sons of the living God." We would have to accept that as being in what we call the Christian dispensation, when the ministers tell those people who believe in Christ that they are the sons of the living God. In verse 11, he said, "At that time the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." And that day of Jezreel, of course, is a sermon in itself. I think I spent either 45 minutes or an hour and a half on the subject of Jezreel when we had a series on Gideon. But anyway, in this time, when the children of Israel and the children of Judah would be gathered together, it would be at a time when they would be told, "Ye are not God's people," but they would also be told, "Ye are the sons of the living God." Now, in the second chapter of Hosea is the prophecy of the regathering of the children of Israel. In verse 14 he says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her." Then the next few verses will tell you that this is the Christian dispensation when Jesus Christ would come and redeem Israel back to himself. The term betrothed is used in there three times, meaning God was going to remarry his cast-off, divorced house of Israel. And of them, he said in verse 23, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth." I will sow her unto me in the earth. Now that is literally what Jesus Christ said the Son of Man did when he sowed the good seed for the children of the kingdom. Let's read the parable again, or rather, the explanation of it. Verse 37 of Matthew 13. "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world." In other words, the Son of Man sowed the children of the kingdom in the world. That's what God said he would do when he brought Israel back to himself. According to Hosea 2, verse 23, "I will sow her unto me in the earth." And then he goes on in Hosea, "And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God." God was going to say, "Thou art my people," to the same people, the house of Israel, he had cast off and said, "Ye are not my people." In verse 9, as Hosea was given the prophecy of Israel's casting off, he said to Israel, "Ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." This strange doctrine that has been deceiving our people for a century, that we somehow or other are not the Israel people, but that God couldn't get the Israel people to turn to him and had to go to some heathen called Gentiles, of which we are, and then got them instead of Israel, has deceived millions of Christian people. It does not fit the Bible. The people who are of the faith, they are the children of Abraham. We also see in Obadiah, referring to this gathering of the tares, and remember, the tares look just like the wheat until the time of harvest. Have you ever considered the possibility that because of the deception at the end of the age, that millions of people might actually believe that the tares really are the children of the kingdom? In other words, we would expect to find in fulfillment of this parable and of the prophecies that there would be many deceivers out preaching to Christendom that the tares, the children of the devil, were actually the children of the kingdom. We have that being fulfilled in the world today. But it is the tares, the wicked ones, who will be gathered and cast into the fire, which, of course, fits what we read in Obadiah. Obadiah is just before Jonah in the Bible and just after Amos. It is only one page in most Bibles, it's one chapter, and it is a vision of Obadiah of the destruction of Edom. Remember in Genesis 36 we find out that Esau is Edom. Esau was Jacob's twin brother who lost the birthright and the blessing. Jacob received the blessing and the birthright, even though Esau was the elder. Esau then married Canaanite wives, and his offspring today would be Canaanite, and it would be logical to assume they are still trying to get back the birthright, even if it means they have to represent themselves as Israelites. But in Obadiah, we find that after they are exposed as not being the children of Israel, God says in verse 17, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance." Now remember, I have shown you that this place where the tares and the wheat would go together is the kingdom of heaven. It's on the earth. It would be in the place called the New Jerusalem or the Zion of Bible prophecy. Here in Obadiah, he says, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions," meaning the possessions of Edom, "and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. There shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, the children of Jacob Israel would rise up and destroy the children of Edom, or Esau. And if you look up in the margin of your Bible in either Genesis 23 or Genesis 36, I believe you will find that Edom means red. Edom means red. What is the great controversy, the great battle, the conflict of the ages, if you please, if it is not between the Reds and Christendom? The people in the Bible identified as Reds are the descendants of Esau. They are attempting to destroy the children of Israel, even to the extent of deceiving millions with a false identity as the chosen of God themselves. In verse 21 of Obadiah, again we are told, this destruction of Esau, Edom, or the Reds would be on Mount Zion, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. This is what we see in the parable of the tares and the wheat. In Malachi, we have the prophecy in the very last page of your old scriptures, literally of Christendom or the Christians, verse 16 of chapter 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, or the margin says, my special treasure, and remember, that's what Israel was called, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, why is God going to give this power to the righteous? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Where is this burning going to take place? Right here on the earth, in the kingdom, if you please, in the Zion of Bible prophecy. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Lord willing, we'll continue in the parables of Matthew 13 tomorrow. You'll be with me until then. Goodbye. God bless you and Christian America. There are 6 more radio programs of this series on the next cassette, tape number 7407, and the final 6 are on tape number 7408.